Welcome to Empowered From Within, a special series under Unapologetically Hers 2024-2025 Participatory Action Research Leadership Program. I'm your host, Precious Johnson, and I bring both experience and commitment to this critical conversation. This series is based on research conducted by incarcerated community researchers at Central California Women's Facility, exploring peer perspectives on job readiness and accessing current prison programs. Their findings highlight both the barriers to reentry and opportunities for change. Over 10 episodes, you'll hear firsthand from those currently incarcerated and those who have successfully reentered society. We'll examine challenges in job readiness programs, discuss access and equity in prison education, and explore ways to create real systematic change. Join us as we amplify these voices and push for meaningful action. Let's dive in. I'm honored to be joined by community researcher Candace Ortega, whose work has revealed both the power and the challenges of networking and mentorship within CCWF community. Hi, Candace. How are you doing? And thank you for joining me in this critical conversation.
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for participating in this. Before we dive into our main discussion, Candace, can you just tell me a little bit about yourself and your incarceration, and your experiences with mentorship, community researching this topic in this area?
Yeah, so I've been incarcerated for 20 years. I'm serving a 40-to-life sentence. And my experience doing this research, I found that my peers that weren't doing a life sentence weren't as knowledgeable and didn't have a big network or even a mentor as those of my peers that were serving a life sentence. And so with that, I found a lot of barriers and for the people that didn't have knowledge, didn't have access to a network or a mentor.
Absolutely. And I think that's very critical for folks that are getting ready to be released, right? Because typically short-termers are getting ready to go home. They need mentors just as well. What initially inspired you to focus on motivation, networking, and mentorship?
So from my own experience, having a mentor, for me, it was vital for me to grow and to flourish and to really expand that, right? To have resource and access to different resources is very helpful for me and preparing me for the outside. So I just felt like I needed to do this because there is a need for there to be more mentors and a bigger network system and about how to get that out to my peers. Because like I said, a lot of the peers that do not have life sentence aren't really plugged in to a mentor or a networking system. And I found it's just lack of them not being motivated, not willing to go out and make those connections. And so what I was basically trying to figure out is what we could do to try to bridge that gap, try to get them interested in resources, because they're the ones that will be leaving, before those of us with life sentences, and they're the ones that are less prepared. So I felt like it was just really important to try to get those resources out to them.
Right. And you mentioned that folks are lacking motivation. Can you speak more to that, more so them just lacking the support inside and in the knowledge? You're saying they're lacking motivation. Can you explain that a little bit more for us?
So when I asked my peers, why is it that you don't know about these different organizations? Because I threw out a couple of organizations. Well, have you heard of ARC? Have you heard of Sister Warriors? And so my peers will be like, no, I've never heard of that. And so I asked, well, how do you get access to this information? And they said, well, I don't. I wouldn't know where to get that information. So it's that, I guess the gap is not knowing where to access the information. I guess the lack of communication on where and how to access these resources.
Yes. And ultimately, that's the reason why they're lacking motivation then, because they don't have the knowledge and they don't know where to find it. So they're not motivated or confident to go search for that information. Thank you for sharing that. Have you had a mentor, coach, or role model who has supported you during your time there? And how did that relationship help you, and where did you find them?
So I do have a mentor, and I met my mentor at one of the jobs I had as a porter. And so that relationship saved my life. That was when I hit my rock bottom in my addiction, and I just needed help. And so I think it was like in the right place at the right time. She was a facilitator, but she was already in a leadership role. And so that initial meeting her and asking for help is kind of how I like branched out and my network started growing. She introduced me to her people, other mentors. She's now since paroled. She's works at Sister Warriors and still in contacts. And so that became a part of my network. So from there, like that relationship helped build my confidence in asking for help and being able to learn how to network. Because I think a lot of it is my peers don't know how to network or don't realize what networking actually is. And so having that mentor, she taught me how to connect with different people, how to work the room.
I love it. I love it. So when you say you were at your rock bottom and she saved your life, like, can you give me an example or story of a time where you were at in your life and where he really helped you out in this area? I would just love to hear an example.
So an example was just trying to stay sober, like really being in here and being in my addiction and trying to get clean and not knowing how to get clean. And so she walked me through the 12 steps. She was my sponsor through the 12 steps. So every day we would sit for a couple of hours and we would do a step every day. If I needed somebody to talk to, I was having a rough day, she would talk to me. If I needed to learn, or not needed, I needed to learn, excuse me, coping skills, right? So she taught me different ways to cope with my emotions. And so I started learning ways to live healthy, right? And create these healthy coping skills. And so my whole environment changed, right? People, places, and things, all that changed. And it was because I had that mentor to guide me in the right path. Because up until her, I really didn't know what that looked like. So if you don't know what recovery looks like, or you don't know what healthy looks like because you've never had it, you can't ever reach it. And as that mentor was to have like that actual, I was experiencing, I was witnessing it in her walk.
Thank you for sharing that critical piece of information. A mentor and networking inside does save lives, especially if you are in recovery. And I thank you so much for sharing that personal information with us today. So she saved your life, right? And she showed you a new way of life. And how vital, right? How vital is it to have someone like the person that you had for folks getting ready to be paroled and be released, right? And being able to access information and resources and to have that guidance. How vital is it, Candace, for folks inside?
I think it's very vital. I don't think that you can move forward without it, right? Because in order for us to thrive and for us to make it, like, we have to have support. There has to be people supporting us. We can't do it alone. So it's like you alone can do it, but you can't do it alone. And if you don't know the way, how are you supposed to find the way? And so that's where these mentors, especially like formerly incarcerated, that's where they're really big coming into play. And that's why access to mentors or network systems is very vital, because they're the ones that are already paving the way for us. They've been there, done that. They know the struggles we're going to face. And so I believe that our success depends on how big our network is and our mentors. I believe, and I believe that my peers agree with that too, because every peer that I have talked to that has had a mentor says the same thing. Like it's vital. It's essential for our success to have a support system, and it's the formerly incarcerated who we lean on the most. They have already made the transition, so they guide us and prepare us for society before we actually parole. And that came from one of the peers that I did interview when I asked her just that question, how vital is it for you to have a mentor?
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. So it sounds like having a dedicated mentor not only offers practical support, but also instills confidence for the future. And I hope that I heard you correctly. Yeah. Let's now talk about how building a network can further support those inside and their goals. you mentioned that you started building a network through your mentor and preparing you and networking and showing you how to work a room and get through your sobriety. How can we on the outside create more opportunities to connect with people on the inside to offer mentorship and career guidance?
So my peers are asking for like more workshops on how to apply for a job, how to fill out an application, how to write a resume, how to dress for an interview. So like workshops like that would be really helpful for them, right? That's just another resource because a lot of them in here have never had a job before. And so to start at the beginning to be job ready, right? How to actually fill out the application correctly, how to actually do a resume. So there's all these things that they are asking for. They're asking for job fairs, like specific job fairs. They already have resource fairs where you can access a lot of other different resources. But how about like an actual job fair?
Thank you, Candace, for sharing that valuable information from your research, from your peers. One thing I'd like to comment on is that you said some people never have had a job on the outs, right? But I know from experience, because I was in there, 2 years ago, that they make you work in there, right? You have to have a job or you have to go to school. And in terms of jobs, we don't have to present a resume. But there is some networking that goes on. Can you talk a little bit about, how folks get jobs on the inside and how that's not really beneficial for folks when they get home? Like, what's the difference between getting a job while you're incarcerated and then seeking a job once you come home? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so getting a job in here is basically you get placed wherever they're going to place you, depending on the job, right? So you'll just one day get a ducat in your door, like, here you go, report to this job, and then there, boom, that's your job. Whether it be in the kitchen, whether it be a porter job, a yard crew job, education jobs. But then there are other jobs where there is like an interview process. Like when I interview for peer support, I had to fill out an application and I had to interview, right? And so that was actually the very first time I've ever had an interview or filled out an application, because I'm one of the people that have never worked on the streets, right? But even having just that little interview and that application, I don't believe is enough for me to actually know how to fill out an application on the street or how to dress for an interview or how to answer questions. So I believe still, even in just having like that little bit of exposure, it's still not enough. And we still would benefit from having like a workshop, because jobs in here aren't like jobs on the street. That's not about. And when you apply for these kind of positions, it's like I have the confidence to apply for that because I've had my mentor guiding me, right? Mm-hmm. But for my peers that don't have a network or don't have a mentor helping them, they're not really the ones applying for these jobs, because one, they probably think they're not going to get it, and they lack that confidence,
right?
Because they've had no guidance,
right.
So I think that would be the big difference between having a job in here and having a job on the streets. 9 times out of 10 in here, but like I said, you're placed in that job, so you really just show up and go to work.
And what are your peers saying about the jobs inside? Can you give me some quotes surrounding interviews, resumes, and their confidence about getting jobs in there versus getting jobs once they come home?
A lot of my peers in here that are in like the porter position or the kitchen job, they feel like, how is this going to help me out there? How is tweeting them, especially when there's no certification? There's some jobs where there's no certification. It's really just a job. You're making 8 cents. And then when you get out, it's like, what really do you do with that? And another opportunity they were asking for is allowing their bosses that they work for in here, allowing them to use their bosses as a reference when they get out. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I've never seen. And I thought that was really interesting that one of my peers shared with me. She was like, yeah, why can't we use our bosses for a reference when we leave here? Since we spend so much time here and we are at work, we should be able to put them as a reference. And so I thought that was interesting.
I see that being a big benefit. You know, when I paroled, I did not put down any of my previous work history, employers as references, right? And so that will be a big benefit and help folks really get into jobs once they are released. Thank you for sharing that. After, are there any specific community organizations, professional groups, or individuals people inside will like to connect with after release? How could they support people's goals while still inside, the people that they're requesting?
So I've heard people requesting ARC services. I've heard people requesting CCWP, GRIP. I personally would like to hook up with GRIP on the outside. And these are all organizations that are made up of like formerly incarcerated, right? That offer resources, whether it's housing, whether it's vouchers, a ride home, jobs. I know with GRIP right now training to be an inside facilitator, but I do plan on working for them when I come home. So I'll have a job with them as a certified facilitator upon release. So all these different organizations offer different resources. It just depends on what you're looking for. But those are just to name very few that people are requesting.
And they're requesting because they want jobs, or are they requesting because they want to volunteer, or are they requesting because they see the wonderful work that they're doing and they want to be a part of that organization?
Yeah, so some of it is a job, or some of them want to hook up with them for resources, right? Even if they don't do work with them, like these organizations will help them find a job, will plug them into a job that they want to do, even if it's not necessarily with that organization. So it's like they're great, great supporters for us on the inside.
Sounds like these organizations can really help people feel more confident and overcome that stigma of being formerly incarcerated.
Yes.
And how important is it for mentorship and networking to help people to overcome stigma and build confidence? How important is it for folks to get that mentorship, that networking from formerly incarcerated folks and from the things that they are requesting in terms of workshops and job fairs?
Really important because the formerly incarcerated are. There are living examples. They're walking and living the lives that we hope we get to live upon release, right? And so by seeing it and witnessing it, it makes it real and it gives hope and it inspires and it does build our confidence. Like, oh, if they could do it, I could do it. I just was in with this girl for 20 years and look at her. She's out there thriving. So with the formerly incarcerated, they're the plugs to the job upon release. They already know what the barriers are going to be that we're going to face when we get out. And so having them as our support system and a part of our network, like we're able to navigate, right? Even before we get out, we're already navigating how to get around this and how we're going to work, not around it, excuse me, how we're going to work through it and how we're going to get to the other side and be successful.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so very much. And give me some quotes. Like, how are folks feeling about, are they excited? Are they nervous? Like, how are folks feeling inside about networking and mentorship? Can you share some quotes or some examples or some stories on folks' thoughts about this?
So yeah, some of my peers have said networking and mentorship is how we thrive and become ready for society. Another one says, if I didn't have peer support in my building, I wouldn't know how to get any information. But I think just based on that, we all see the need. There is something that I would like to mention that I didn't mention earlier, if I may.
Sure.
One thing that they're really asking for as far as like mentors is for the formerly incarcerated coming back in that the barriers be removed, right? So there's these barriers that the formerly incarcerated has to go through to just even come back in the institution. And so sometimes they make it impossible for them to come back, or they question the relationship that the formerly incarcerated has with the incarcerated, but we've all been doing time together. So it's each one teach one process. So as you're coming in to do something good, like, why create barriers and keep them out? Right? Yeah. So I think that that's important, because these are the people that are making changes. These are the people that are getting us out of here. These are the people that are spreading hope. And so I think that more support from administration and bringing these people in and implementing the California model, like 100%, I believe would be very helpful. And that's really what the population's asking for.
Thank you for sharing that. You are spot on. And, you know, with that deep insight, Unapologetically Hers is currently going inside and doing workshops once a month. And there were stringent processes that we had to go through in order for that to even be possible. And so I greatly appreciate the folks inside, you know, advocating for formerly incarcerated folks and organizations to come inside to continue to support them and bring forth the workshops and classes that they need so that they can be productive, law-abiding, returning citizens upon their release. And so I greatly appreciate all the advocacy you guys are doing inside for folks like our organization that really want to make a difference. Candace, looking back on your research and these conversations, what is the single most important insight about building effective networks and mentorship relationships there at CCWF?
I think the most important is that it's needed. So it's needed, and we need more formerly incarcerated to be coming back and spending that time with us, right? And staying connected and being able to get on our tab list, being able to have that dialogue through an email, through the phone, through a letter. But most importantly, like face to face, we need that face to face time, that actual spend time and discuss things, right? And get job ready. I think the biggest takeaway that I got from that was the need for our people to come back in, to reach back in here and have that access.
Yes. It seems clear that expanding access to resources, whether through upgraded technology or external mentor programs, is key to empowering individuals from within. Is that so?
That is so.
Yes. Candace, do you have any final advice for our listeners on how to begin building these networks today?
So my advice would be for CDCR administration, you know, to remove those barriers, like let our people come in, let them support us, let them spend time with us, let them be in our GTL cabbage. Don't criminalize what they're trying to do, right? So don't make something that can be beautiful and that could be beneficial and inspiring, like don't make it ugly. And post names and addresses on our GCL tablets, make flyers, bring more reentry programs, bring more workshops. Like let's be California model 100%. That's the advice that I would give for people listening. And if you are incarcerated and you want to start building your network system, like reach out to your IAC members, your peer support, your facilitators. Like, start small and work your way out, but ask for help, ask for resources. That would be my advice.
Thank you, Candace, for sharing these valuable insights.
You're welcome.
It's such an honor having you here in this critical conversation today. Take care and be well. Thank you for tuning in to Empower From Within. A special thank you to our guests for sharing their invaluable insights and our community researchers, and to our listeners for being part of this critical conversation. If you believe in the power of self-empowerment and the importance of job readiness for system-impacted individuals, visit uahers.org to learn more, share your feedback, get involved, or support this work. Don't forget to subscribe and join us next time as we continue exploring the realities of reentry, workforce readiness, and the systematic changes needed to build a more just future.